2:32 a.m. 10 years ago this month, I got my first check for $22,000, which was just the biggest windfall I had ever gotten in my life. Little did I know what it would lead to. Anyway, 10 years ago, I put that money in the bank when I lived in Austin. And I got me a checkbook, and I got myself a bank card. I got myself a laptop computer, my first. I also got myself a Sony CyberShot camera, my first, and a Sony video camera. And after I got those, I decided that I would put the money I got to the test. And believe me, that's exactly what I did. I rented a car, and without making any reservations whatsoever, I drove down to Corpus Christi, and I spent about, 3 days there. I went through one hell of a thunderstorm on my way down. I think I may have punched a core or something. My hotel room was right on the beach of the Gulf of Mexico, and I found it quite peaceful listening to the waves morning, noon, and night. Of course, there wasn't much to do down there, but I did go to the local cemetery. And it was there that I found the grave of Selena, that Latino singer who was murdered by her finance manager. By the way, that manager is still serving her life term in prison. Everything worked perfectly. I paid for the room and drove the car back up to Austin. And after that, I started looking for a good hotel in Los Angeles and also transportation. The hotel that I found was the Wyndham Bellage Hotel in West Hollywood, which I didn't know it at the time, but it turns out that West Hollywood is the gay capital of Los Angeles. Also, for the first time in my life, I got a first-class round-trip airfare to Los Angeles. And that was just amazing. It really was. I got a limo to take me to the airport. Man, I felt like a millionaire. I also felt like $1 million. As I arrived at the airport, which is Austin Bergstrom International Airport, I sat down with my ticket and wondered to myself, I wonder who the first celebrity I will see will be. Turns out that he was sitting just a few seats away from me. I didn't even know it until we got on the plane. But when we got on the plane, I vaguely recognized this elderly gent who was sitting on an aisle seat, and I was sitting a window seat on the port side of the plane. And he looked a bit familiar, but I wasn't really sure who he was. The flight to Los Angeles was amazing. from takeoff to landing, as we rose into the sky and Austin shrank beneath me, and then Texas shrank beneath me. And I just couldn't help but look out the window and see the clouds and the cities and the towns and the highways and the roads and the lakes. It really was amazing. At one point, I asked my seatmate, Robin, what the dark shapes peeking out of the clouds were. And she looked out the window and she said, "Oh, those are mountains." And I was just, wow, isn't that incredible? I felt like Agent Dale Cooper when he first rolled into Twin Peaks and he was marveling at the trees. And then we entered California airspace, and as we did so, the pilot came on and said we'd entered California airspace and that we would be landing at LAX shortly. So I pulled out my MP3 player. There were no iPhones back then. And I turned on the song that I really wanted to hear really bad. And that song was Hotel California. And I just smiled. I had my laptop and my cameras with me on my one bag that I could stow with me above my head. And I had one of the cameras out and was filming, or actually taking pictures as we made our descent. One of the pictures that I really happen to have as a favorite of mine is when we were between layers of clouds, and I looked out the window and there were clouds above and clouds below and nothing but blue in between. It was absolutely amazing. And finally, we made our way into Los Angeles airspace and began our descent to LAX. And it was there that I picked up my bags and got myself a cab. He turned out to be a jerk. But I didn't let that bother me. So I took the cab to my hotel, paid the man, gave him a hell of a tip because he wouldn't let me get change. And I went in to the hotel and said, "My name is Scott Spencer. I have a reservation." And the date was Thursday, October 30th, 2003. It was around 3 o'clock, I believe. And the man at the desk said, "I'm sorry, sir, but you were supposed to check in yesterday. You missed your reservation. And as a matter of fact, we are overbooked." And I said, "Well, there must be some mistake. My reservation was for October 30th through November 9th. He said, "Sorry, sir." So, fortunately for me, I did not panic. Instead, I asked to speak to the manager, and I told him the situation. I presented him with my papers of confirmation, and he said, "Just a moment, sir. We'll get your room ready in just a moment." And he came back in about 5 minutes, and I was absolutely ready to bite all my nails off. And he came back and said, "Mr. Spencer, we have your room ready. We're sorry about the inconvenience and the mix-up." And He said, I will take you to your room personally. I said, oh, thank you very much. And so I got my electronic keys to the room on the fifth floor. And he took me up there and unlocked the door for me. And we went inside. It was a one-bedroom hotel suite with a balcony with a little table and chairs out there. And on the balcony where I could eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And the view was just amazing when he opened the curtains. And I could see downtown Los Angeles, and I could see Westwood, and then I could see Century City, and it was quite a view, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen. So, I was just eating up that view, and one of the first things I did was took my laptop out and plugged in. Unfortunately, there was something wrong with internet in that room. And so for the next 3 days, I'd go over to the coffee shop, which also had, it was an internet coffee shop, which was new at that time. It happened to be right there on Sunset Boulevard, catty corner from the world-famous Whiskey-A-Go-Go. The girl who was there was just amazingly beautiful, and she had the most record-setting, beautiful breasts that I just couldn't take my eyes off of. She must have thought I was a creep. But it was from this internet coffee shop that I was able to post to the forum that I was involved in at that time. I think it was either the Bagism forum or the Imaginative Worlds forum, or another forum that happened to do with Art Bell and his radio show. On November 1st, the staff of the hotel moved me to a new room which had perfect internet connection. And that was on the seventh floor, a corner suite. And once again, I had a magnificent view. And I decided to have dinner out on the balcony. And as I was having dinner, I was seized with a feeling of absolute terror. And I couldn't understand where it came from. I looked out over the city and realized that I was terrified of heights. I very quickly moved indoors. My first full day in Los Angeles was Halloween, and I went to Hollywood Memorial Park. It used to be called that. It is now called Hollywood Forever, thanks to Tyler Casti, whom I had the pleasure of meeting while I was out there. I also had a very strange encounter as I was approaching the Abbey of the Psalms mausoleum. It seemed that there was a haunting presence there. I couldn't understand why or how. But anyway, I stayed at the cemetery for some time. And After that, I went to the lake shrine and self-realization temple and Pacific Palisades. And at this time, I was banking with Bank of America. I no longer bank with them for obvious reasons. They're just terrible. So, I had some fried chicken at KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't know why they are so politically correct with that. Why can't they just go with what it was? Anyway, I absolutely loved the lake shrine, and I lingered there for quite some time. Afterwards, I went to the beach and saw the Pacific Ocean for the first time in my life as an adult. It was very peaceful, very serene, and I just loved looking at it. It was so perfect, so huge, so majestic. The next day, I went to Pierce Brothers Memorial Park in Westwood, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. It's called Westwood Village. And at that little 4.3-acre cemetery are some of the biggest names in Hollywood. The main one being none other than, well, I'll tell you. I entered the cemetery and walked down this walkway and made a turn to the left and walked a little bit further. And then I saw the name on the crypt. Name and the dates. The dates were 1926 to 1962, and the name on that crypt was Marilyn Monroe. And as I approached, this feeling of absolute awe came over me, like I was in the company of a queen or a princess, more like a princess, I think. I also happened to visit Hillside Memorial Park and also Holy Cross Memorial Park. And I think that's when I saw Moe's grave, or his crypt rather, at Hillside. I also saw the crypt of David Jansen and Al Jolson. His is literally a shrine. The crypt of Jack Benny. And those were quite amazing. And while I was there, I decided to call a man who was at one time my worst enemy. And I said, "What are you doing tonight?" And he said, "Nothing." I said, "Why don't you come over to my hotel? We'll have a couple of drinks and talk." And he was just astonished. He said, "Why would you want to even speak to me when I was so mean to you?" And I said, "'Cause I believe in forgiveness." And then I quoted Agent Rosenfeld from Twin Peaks when he said, "Now you listen to me. While I will admit to a certain cynicism, the fact is that I am a naysayer and hatchet man in the fight against violence. I pride myself in taking a punch, and I'll gladly take another because I choose to live my life in the company of Gandhi and King. My concerns are global. I reject absolutely revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love. So, I went back to the hotel and got myself ready and got a couple of drinks, some, I don't know what we were drinking, but I said, oh, he's going to need a card to come up the elevator. So I took the elevator down, and just as I came out of the elevator and started walking towards the front desk, I saw him walking towards me. He was kind of halfway turned to me, and I was just momentarily stunned, surprised. There was Adrian Mattoni. He now called himself Adriano Mattoni. And at that time, he was married to a sweet lady named Karen. To be continued.